2 Corinthians chapter number 9 this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 in your Bibles. We will read verses number 6, 7, and 8. I'll read verses 6 and 8 if you'll join me on verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And if you would join me in standing out of honor of God's Word, we'll read verses 6, 7, and 8 tonight. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's pray this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we pause one more time before the preaching of your word. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this time. I pray that you will put away all distractions out of our minds, that you would help us to focus in on the preaching of your book. And I pray that it would find good ground in our hearts. Lord, bless the special and the sermon to follow. We ask it in your name. Amen.
The Bible tells of those who know the story of Christ and how he died upon the cross. Turning many unto Jesus, they will shine as the stars bright, as the sun up in the sky. We must be stars shining bright till daylight, when the Son of God will come to call us home. We must tell the world of Jesus, his gospel will proclaim, and be starlight till daylight. The morning star is soon to come again, and end the night the world's been living in. He'll reward those who shine brightly, giving the gospel message. So be wise and let your light shine. We must be stars shining bright till daylight, when the Son of God will come to call us home. We must tell the world of Jesus, his gospel will proclaim, and be starlight till daylight. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. We must be stars shining bright till daylight, when the Son of God will come to call us home. We must tell the world of Jesus, his gospel will proclaim, and be starlight shining so bright. We must give the gospel light till daylight. We must give the gospel light till daylight.
I want to wear a dance state right here. Ushers, you have these little choruses, pieces of paper with the choruses. Help us get these out. And I want everybody to get one tonight. We're going to sing this chorus with Dan, have him sing it for us a couple times. We'll sing it through the conference. I think he did a great job on this song, and I appreciate it. So you'll get one of these. And of course, there's no music on it. Most of us can't read music anyway, all right? And but, you know, that we can get the tune after hearing it a couple times. And so, fellas, span out across the auditorium, and you have these. Everybody get one. Dan, come on and sing it for us one time, and then we'll join you the second time. Just the chorus. Sing it for us one time, please.
When the Son of God will come to call us home, we must tell the world of Jesus. His gospel will proclaim and be starlight till daylight.
Pretty simple. Sing it with me, all right? Here we go.
We must be stars shining bright till daylight. When the Son of God will come to call us home, we must tell the world of Jesus. His gospel will proclaim and be starlight till daylight.
One more time tonight.
We must be stars shining bright till daylight. When the Son of God will come to call us home, we must tell the world of Jesus. His gospel will proclaim and be starlight till daylight.
Super. That's a great song. Put that little piece of paper somewhere in your Bible or in your purse or somewhere where you'll have it with you. And we'll sing it again this Wednesday night, the next Sunday, and sing it throughout the conference. And Dan puts a lot of thought and time and Kelly in writing the music for that. And I think the songs are very, very good for us. And it just adds a little something for our conference. And so that is a blessing. Thank you, Dan and Kelly. Now, I want to ruin your evening. I'm going to preach on giving tonight. Amen. So let's just get that out of the way right now. And decide that we're going to just, you know, pout and stew throughout the whole service because it's about giving. All right. Truly, one of the joys of the Christian life is learning the grace of giving. The grace of giving. If you haven't entered into it yet, if it's still a difficult thing for you, you're missing something fantastically exciting and just such a blessing. And this, I don't often do this. Now, if you've been here through the years, there is one missions message that I have preached numerous times here, ad nauseum. You notice I haven't preached it now for 4 or 5 years because you know it better than I do, okay? And I haven't preached first century missions giving for a while. But this is a message that I have used in the past, not in a long, long, long time. I don't know if outside of first century missions giving, there may have been 2 other messages that I rewrote and re-preached here in this pulpit. Now, I have been told, as many sermon books as I have full of messages over these 25 years, man, go back and get some of those old messages and re-preach them. Some guys can do that. It just doesn't fit me. And so it's rare, maybe, like I say, outside of first century missions giving, maybe 2 or 3. And pretty much they all are about missions conference because there's some truths about missions conference, whether it's needing to send the light or giving or whatever, that just, they're always good. They're always applicable, always ready for us. So I want to preach tonight. I like this title I came up with years ago. And I use this in churches when I preach at missions conferences. 3 P's in the Faith Promise Pod. 3 P's in the Faith Promise Pod. All right? And because this is an agricultural illustration Paul gives here. And so I decided to come up with an agricultural title. 3 P's in the Faith Promise Pod. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll have your will in our lives and our hearts tonight as we anticipate, prepare for this good meeting. God, again, we pray that you'll work. We pray that your will may be done. This is not about pressure. This is about purpose. And so, God, help us tonight. Please help me to be a blessing to the people. In Jesus' name and amen. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Is 2 classic passages in your New Testament on the subject of grace giving. I'm not going to belabor everything that I normally would talk about tonight, other than to say this just at the beginning, folks. What we're talking about tonight has nothing to do with tithing. Nothing to do with tithing. Tithing is not even a part of this. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is only us giving God what we owe Him, what belongs to Him. So, if you're at the 10% mark, I applaud you. I commend you for your obedience to Christ. But if that's where you are, 10% and no more, then you are tithing, and I commend you for that. But giving begins at whatever you go beyond 10%. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is the grace of giving. Now, again, just to set the record straight, the context of these two passages is about an offering that Paul was challenging the church at Corinth to take or to give for the poor saints who were in Jerusalem. That was Paul's practice. He believed that since the Gentile churches had benefited from the Jews spiritually, and we have, that the Jews who were suffering severe persecution in Jerusalem should benefit from the Gentiles materially. Now, there was only one problem with that. The Gentile Christians weren't really rolling in the dough. In fact, those in Macedonia were in a great trial and deep poverty. But Paul still said, folks, look, you've got to find a way. You've benefited from them spiritually. Now, they should benefit from you and me, from Gentile people materially. And that's what this context is about. An offering for poor saints in Jerusalem. Paul did that in every place he went. But we can apply the giving principles here to missions. We can apply these principles to anything that is beyond the tithe. They work for missions. They work for special offerings. They work for building money. They work for everything that is beyond the tithe. Okay? Now, I got 3 points tonight, and we'll get started here. The first point is the lengthiest. Don't die or pass out and think, oh my gracious, we're going to be here till midnight. The last 2 points go quick, okay? But I'm going to tell you up front, number one is a little bit lengthy, okay? But not too bad. Number one, in this passage I want you to see tonight, in this matter of 3 P's in the Faith Promise Pod, I want you to see principles involved. Principles involved. Verse number 6, Paul wrote, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, he is not teaching the people how to farm, okay? He's not teaching them about growing corn and growing soybeans and growing things like that. He is using the principles of sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting, to illustrate biblical giving and receiving. There are laws of the harvest, laws that are agricultural in nature, that apply or that illustrate biblical giving. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Let me give you 4 of these laws that apply, principles involved in biblical giving. Here they are. Number one, and they're very simple, and many of you have heard this before. Number one is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. You don't plant a tomato plant in your garden and hope to harvest a cucumber. All right? You don't plant green beans and expect to cut eggplant off the green bean plant. If you plant green bean seed, you expect to have to harvest green beans. Now, I reap what I sow in my garden. Now, listen, if I plant corn, I'm going to reap corn. If I plant beans, I'm going to reap beans. But how about this? I cannot sow an inferior hybrid seed and reap a superior hybrid corn. Does that make sense to you? I can't plant an inferior hybrid seed and reap a superior hybrid corn because I reap what I sow. Whatever I put in the ground is what I'm going to get out of it someday. All right? If I sow or give to material or temporal purposes only, I only reap material or temporal blessings. And folks, there's nothing wrong with that. Every one of us, as men, we are expected to sow some of the money that God gives us, plant some of the money that God gives us toward temporary material things. We're expected to put food on our family's table. We're expected to put a roof over our family's head. We're expected to put clothes on our family's back. We're expected to provide for the ones that we are responsible for. But folks, all of those material provisions are only temporal in nature. Someday every house, every car, every piece of clothing, every bit of food is going to be gone. Not going to last. It's inferior, if you will. It's temporal. It's material. It's not eternal. So, nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to do that. But, what if we want to reap some eternal rewards? What if we want something someday that goes beyond the material and beyond the temporal? If I want to reap some eternal rewards, then I have to sow to eternal purposes. I have to plant some of that money that God has given me towards eternal purposes. Now, hold your finger here, and I want you to look over with me at a very well-known passage in Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verses number 19, 20, and 21. And church, let me say to those of you that maybe have been here for a while, I hope you won't grow weary of some of these things that you'll hear tonight. We have new people. We have a lot of new people to our church who have not heard the message I'm preaching tonight, nor have I even dealt with these principles in the message. So it doesn't hurt us to go over them and hear them again. And certainly we want folks to hear it maybe for the first time. Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse number 19. Jesus said this. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Now, don't put all your money towards the temporal. Don't put all your money towards the material. He said in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." You won't, I won't, we won't, some of our money to be devoted, dedicated to eternal purposes. And folks, if we want treasure in heaven, if we want eternal reward, we have to sow to eternal purposes now. It'll be too late to sow to eternal purposes when we get to heaven. We have to do that now. Yesterday, Ben and I, Friday after Friday, we drove out to Akron, Ohio. And you know, men make a lot of, they tease ladies a lot of going on trips about stopping often, stopping here, stopping there. Ben and I somehow turned a six-hour drive into 9 hours and 9.5 hours. We stopped at Cabela's, and we stopped at Bass Pro, and we stopped to eat somewhere, and we stopped to get gas, and then we stopped for ice cream at a place where the ice cream store was closed. And then we went to another ice cream place where the GPS took us where there was no ice cream store. And finally, about 3 miles or 4 miles from the church, we found an ice cream place. And so we stopped and got ice cream because we had it in our minds that we should never be able to tease our wives again about going somewhere and stopping often. It took us over nine, but we kind of planned it, had a good time. Yes, so that was on Friday. Saturday, we got up and got ready to go to the conference, and we were both preaching in it. And he got a phone call there in the motel room as we were putting the things together. And it was Scotty Rackley FaceTiming him from Madagascar in Tananarivo, where the church had gathered on Saturday afternoon for a School of the Prophets preaching meeting. And several of those Malagasy men had prepared messages to preach to the family, their families, and the church people that would come. And Scotty had the phone there, and I could hear it. And of course, he understood it. All I could do was hear it. It was in Malagasy, foreign language to me. And I heard one guy preach and then another guy preach. And these are young men in the church who've been saved and baptized and who are excited about the Lord. And so when we got in the truck, he's still listening. And so I said, "Let me say hello." And so he turned the phone and I saw the faces of those men. I saw Donay and Dolph, and I saw Dina, and I saw Zoo. I saw some of those men that I met when we were there earlier this year. And those men had all prepared messages and had stood up and had preached. And boy, he got a blessing out of that. And I got a blessing out of that. And church, I want to tell you, if you've been giving faithfully to missions here over the years, that's an eternal investment that's going to result in an eternal reward for you someday. You may never meet them this side of heaven. But as he preached on Wednesday night, I too believe that in heaven, somehow, some way, you'll meet those people who were reached in Madagascar and other places that were reached as the result of people here in this church and others giving so that light bearers could go and take light to foreign countries and people could get saved. You reap what you sow. If you want eternal reward, you've got to sow to eternal purposes. Now listen, I'm taking the pressure off tonight. Some of the money has to be dedicated to material things. Has to be. And God expects that. But you don't want to live your whole life only sowing to material things. Because the blessings, the rewards are only temporal. Temporal. You want to dedicate some of it because you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. That's the first principle involved. The second principle involved here is you reap more than you sow. You reap more. These are so simple. But folks, these apply to biblical giving. You know, what if you passed by the road at planting season earlier this spring? You ran down the road in one of these rural areas and you saw a farmer out there with a 5-gallon bucket, and he was walking down his cornfield, walking down his field, and he was taking a whole ear of corn, a whole ear of corn out and putting it in the ground, covering it up with some dirt, taking 2 or 3 steps, planting another whole ear of corn, a whole ear in the ground. You would think, you might even stop your car and walk out there and say, "Sir, are you okay? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm planting." "Well, why are you planting an ear of corn?" "Because I want to reap an ear of corn." He doesn't have to plant an ear of corn to reap an ear of corn. He plants one little kernel of corn and he reaps an ear of corn from that one kernel, that one little seed kernel. And Brian can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I asked him one time. I know I asked him. I just know I can't remember that. I hope I got the answer right. I said, "Brother Maxwell, how many kernels of corn is on a full mature ear of corn?" And I think you said, if everything is right, 1,000 kernels. Is that correct? So from that one seed corn kernel that he planted, he reaps 1,000. Because that's the principle. And you know, that's true in your garden. You plant a little pumpkin seed, you don't reap one pumpkin, you reap several pumpkins. You plant a little squash seed, you don't reap one little squash, you reap a bunch of squash. You plant a little tomato plant, a little tomato seed turns into a plant, and you pick tomatoes off of that plant, several of them, because you reap more than you sow. Now here's how it applies to biblical giving, and especially to missions. You give and a missionary goes. And you think to yourself, "Well, you know, praise God, I can give, you know, $12.50 a week and help support one missionary family a month, or $6.25 a week and support half a missionary, half support for a missionary." It'd be hard to support half a missionary, but half support for a missionary. And so you think, "Well, I can give, you know, and I can help take care of that one missionary family through my missions giving, and I'm glad I can do that." But folks, that's not the end of it. You plant $12.50 a week, and that helps send one missionary family to South Sudan, to where Ben Smith is going. But you've got to understand something. If that missionary reaches a national, and that national starts a church or takes that church, and then he reaches another national, and that national gets trained, and that national starts a church, and they reach some more national people, and that one of those national men starts a church, and that's what's happening in the Philippines, and that's what's happening in several countries, missionaries where we support, we've sent them to the field, we've supported one American missionary family, and they're reaching nationals who are now reaching nationals who are now reaching nationals, and your giving just multiplies. It multiplies. I just can't remember, and if somebody does remember, you can help me. I think it was Bob Bowen, who works over in Thailand and Burma and that area. I think it was Bob Bowen during a Revival Fires conference. He came, I asked him just to give a word to, I believe it was him. He was over in that area of Burma. And somebody might remember, if it's not Bob Bowen, who it was. But they gave a testimony here, and they talked about having a meeting for pastors. And these pastors came by the hundreds, if not thousands, but I can't remember the exact number. They came and they came and they came, these pastors, to be taught, to be challenged. And he met national pastors in that part of the world who, if you follow their spiritual lineage back, it goes all the way back to Adoniram Judson. And I think that was in the year 2014, two Revival Fires conferences ago, when Brother Bowen gave that testimony. Adoniram Judson went to Burma in the early 1800s. Now it's 2015. So you got American Christians who sent Adoniram Judson to the mission field, and they helped support him, and maybe they felt like they were only investing in one missionary man, when the truth of the matter is, friend, that thing just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied all the way to our very present day, where the spiritual lineage of Adoniram Judson is. There's some people living over there right now still today who were saved as a result of Adoniram Judson going there some years and years and years and years ago. People say, you know, money doesn't go very far these days. It does when you give to missions. It does when you give to missions. I don't can make what percentage at the bank. And not against people having a savings account. Not against that at all. Not against having special investments. Not against that at all. But friend, you want to put some of your money to work where the investment just cannot be measured until you get to heaven. You reap more than you sow. Third principle involved in this is you reap in proportion to how you sow. you reap in proportion to how you sow. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, these are not trick questions. If a farmer plants one row of corn, will he reap more than he sows? Yes. Okay. If a farmer plants 20 rows of corn, will he reap more than he sows? Yes. Will they both reap the same? No. So what you're saying, Pastor, is the one who has the most to sow is going to reap the most. Those who have the most to give will always reap the most. Well, not necessarily. Because God does not judge giving like we do. You and I can't judge giving. We can see somebody make a large gift and think, wow, what a sacrifice. You don't know what's left. God judges proportionately. I love that passage in Mark chapter 12. I think what would happen, the Bible says in Mark chapter 12 that Jesus sat over against the treasury to behold how they would give. Now think about that. Here is Jesus Christ sitting over against the treasury watching people give. What if I followed the offering plates down the aisle next Sunday morning and just followed it down? You know, oh boy, that's a good one. Oh man, what's happened there? What's wrong? You know, what if I did that? But Jesus sat and watched to behold how they would give. And you know the story. This is no parable. This happened. The rich come in and they make a big show of their giving and they pull out a big wad and they peel off the bills and they drop them in with a lot of fanfare and then they go on their way and people go, oh. And then the widow lady comes in and she barely lifts up her eyes and she's got a little napkin with a couple little coins in it and she's embarrassed and she's a little bit ashamed and she makes her way up there and she drops that offering into the receptacle. And when she did, the Bible says that Jesus called his disciples over and said, you see that? You can read it tonight when you get home. You see that? Yeah, man, did you see that big wad? He said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the widow's mite. That big wad came out of an abundance. That widow's mite came out of all she had. Now, church, it's impossible for humans to judge who gives the most. But God knows. I will tell you, you read that passage, it comes pretty clear to me. Now, God knows who gives, God knows how much we give, and God knows how much is left over. And I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm just telling you, you might think tonight, you know, I just don't have a whole lot to give. So I guess mine won't amount to much. You don't know how that will be judged in the sight of God because He knows the proportion. And by the way, that's why, for you folks that haven't been with us for Missions Committee, that's why we don't give you a recommended amount. We don't say, hey, we need everybody in the church to give $10 a week to missions. We don't do that. Here's why. I've gone through this before. We have people in this church whose kids are grown, they're gone, they're married, they're living on their own. They have people in this church whose houses are paid for. Their bills are less than others. And at the end of their work week, I'm just using wild numbers now. At the end of their work week, they have $100 of undesignated money. $100 at the end of their work week. And they sit down on Saturday night to write their check out to the church. And they remember that Pastor Angel asked all the members to give a $10 gift to missions. And they say, you know, I love the Lord and I love missions and I want to help support the program of the church. So I can do that. So they include $10 out of that 100 undesignated monies for missions. In essence, they've given what? 10% of that undesignated money. Here's somebody else in the church. And, you know, maybe they're doing okay, got a good job, but the house isn't quite paid for. And they've only got $50 of undesignated money at the end of their work week. $50. They sit down to write their check out on Saturday night. And they love the Lord. They want to support the missions program and love the idea of sending missionaries. And Pastor asked us to give $10 a week. I can do that. And so out of that $50 of undesignated money, they write 10 of it to church missions program. They've given what? 20%. You see where we're going, right? So here's a family. Here's a young married couple. Here's a getting started in life. Got children, got bills, got mortgage, got car expense. Maybe got Christian education expense. Not making a whole lot of money, you know. But at the end of their week, they got $20 of undesignated money. They sit down on Saturday night to write out the check for the church, and they put that extra $10 in there for the church missions program. They've given what? 50%. Then you've got folks here on fixed incomes. You got single moms. They got a kid or two. At the end of their work week, they got $10 of undesignated money. They sit down on Saturday night to write the church tithe check and include their missions giving, and they think to themselves, oh my goodness, Pastor asked us to give $10 a week, and I want to support missionaries, and I want to be a part of the program, but I know I'm going to need to buy an extra gallon of milk this week. We're just about out, or some of the kids have got a cold, going to have to get some medicine. So they write a check, and they include $7 out of that 10 for missions giving. They come to church and put the offering in the plate and feel guilty because they couldn't give the $10, when in essence, they gave what? So who gave the most? Who gave the most? But that's how God judges it. Now, folks, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm American-born, American-bred, and when I die, I'll be American-dead. With Southern flavor. The Confederate flag on my casket. But anyway. I'm not against people having money. I'm not against people. I am not of that mindset. I am not of this entitlement crowd that says, you've had it long enough, it's our turn. What kind of nonsense is that? I'm not against people having money. I think God blesses His people with money. But folks, we need to understand that God judges our giving proportionately. And if we want those on the lower income levels of life to sacrifice, it's only fair for those on the upper levels of income to sacrifice. Because it's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Now, you know, somebody says, well, you know, Pastor, I got nothing left at the end of my work week. Well, what is that? What is there that can be changed to give you something left? I guess God wouldn't dare expect us maybe to trim a little bit to be able to give the missions, would He? What would He want? Surely. Now, you think about that a little bit. You reap in proportion to how you sow. You reap in proportion. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion to how you sow. Number four, you reap after you sow. After you sow. That's simple to understand. I've used this before, but if we have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, some farmer from the area comes in and we say, who's got a request in this section over here? And this farmer, we got a bib overalls on, you know, raises his hand and he says, yes, sir, Pastor, would you like to ask the church tonight, y'all pray for me that I can harvest a good crop. Okay. How much you got planted? Well, I don't have anything planted, but as soon as I harvest a good crop, I can plant. Now, what will we do, folks? Okay, next request. Amen. Just move right on. That doesn't make a bit of sense. And we understand that. We laugh at it until it comes time for us to give. Then we approach it like the farmer. As soon as I get, I'll give. You reap after you sow, not before. You know, I love the person who says, Pastor, if I had $50,000, I would buy the church brand new buses. That's what I'd do with it. $50,000 wouldn't buy, but maybe one and a half brand new buses. So let's up that. If I had $100,000, I'd buy the church brand new buses. But when the plate is passed for a special need, he keeps the $10 bill in his pocket. Because it's real easy to talk about what you do with what you don't have. That's real easy. But you know, God knows what we have in our pocket. And He's more concerned about what we have in our pocket than what we don't have. You know, it's like that couple that they're just normal couple up in years, and they inherited a large sum of money. through the death of a person, $1 million worth of money, and the husband had a bad heart, and the wife called the pastor. She said, "Pastor, I've got an unusual request for you." He said, "What is it?" She said, "Well, you've got a way with words and know how to say things to people, break news to people." He said, "We've inherited $1 million, and my husband has a weak heart, and I know you have a way with words, and I feel like you could break the news to him better than I could. Would you come tell him?" That's strange, but yeah. Okay, I guess I'll come tell him. So, you know, he goes to the house eventually, and he finds the man out in the garden in the backyard, and he goes, walks back there. "Hey, brother, how you doing?" Talks about the garden for a while. Talks about the weather. Talks about the baseball game. Talks about all those things. He just kind of eases his way into the inheritance without really mentioning the inheritance by name. And he said, "Ed," he said, "you know, you ever thought what you would do if you inherited $1 million?" And old Ed said, "Oh, Pastor," he said, "no, I never thought about that." He said, "That'll never happen." He said, "I ain't got no rich relatives. My wife and I never had much money. But just to appease you," he said, I suppose if I inherited $1 million, I'd help folk. In fact, you've been such a blessing to me, I think I'd just give you half." The pastor fell over with a heart attack right there, amen. So, plumb over. It's easy to talk about what you would do with money you don't have. But folks, let me tell you, God's interested in what we have. And by the way, let me turn that the other way. What you have. You don't have to be on a guilt trip about what you don't have. Now, I've heard faith promise preached that way sometimes. Just get a figure and trust God. And I read in I won't take the time, but I read in this passage here, chapter 8, where Paul talked about these people giving out of what they had. But you have to give before you receive. Let me see. Let me quote these verses to you. You tell me if this is the King James or if this is some other version, all right? Luke 6:38. "It's going to be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so that you can give." Is that what it says? No, I think it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Malachi 3:10, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing," and said, "you can't receive, so that you can bring the tithes into the storehouse." Is that what it says? I think it says, "Bring the tithes into the storehouse, and I will prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." Proverbs 3:9-10, "Thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, so that you can honor me with the first fruits of your increase." Is that what it says? No, it says, "Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase, then thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You know why, folks? Because you got to sow before you reap. You got to sow before you reap. You got to plant before you harvest. Now look, those are laws of agriculture that can't be changed, and they illustrate biblical grace giving. You reap what you sow, sow some to eternal purposes so you can reap eternal rewards. You reap more than you sow. It doesn't stop with Ben Smith. It doesn't stop with Adrian Ferrari. It multiplies as people are reached and reached and reached. You reap in proportion to how you sow, and you reap after you sow. Those are the principles involved. That's the lengthy point. Here's the two short ones. Number two, look at purpose invited. Verse number 7, purpose invited. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Folks, this is not pressure time. This is purpose time. Purpose. Purpose. Don't give emotionally. Give purposefully. You will regret what you give out of emotion. You will never regret what you give out of purpose. And giving, and by the way, God loves a cheerful giver. That probably means not only when you put it in the plate, but on the way home. Why did I do that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. And I got all emotional. And American Christians, it's easy for American Christians to get emotional when you see these pictures and these stories about these people in foreign places, you know. It's easy to get emotional. That's why I never take the commitment cards on Wednesday night. I don't want people putting something on a piece of paper when they're emotionally stirred. Pray about it. Purpose. Purpose. You'll be able to give cheerfully if you purpose in your heart. You say, Pastor, how do I arrive at a figure? Well, start with a figure and ask God. I've already mentioned $12.50 a week supports a missionary family for 1 month. $50 a month. Lord, would you want me to give $12.50 a week? God, I'd like to know if that's what you want me to give. Please give me some assurance or trouble my heart. Give me peace or bother me. I'm leaving it up to you, God. I want this to be purposed in my heart. What do you want me to give? See what happens. See what God does. If God troubles you and says, and you get the idea, no, I should give more, then pray about it. Okay, Lord, should I give $15 a week? Those of you that have been given, God, should I increase? I'm not sure it's God's will for everybody to increase. I don't know your situation. God does. It may not be God's will for you to increase, but it might be, Lord, should I increase a couple dollars a week? Talk to your Father and talk in faith. Well, God's not interested in numbers. Don't tell Abraham that. Don't tell Abraham that. Because he prayed God from 50 down to 10. We act like God is some inanimate object somewhere that's just remote and removed from everything in our lives, and we just, you know, stop and ask Him to give us a good day, when we can talk to Him about things that go on in this life, and this is a perfect thing to talk to God about, starting now. What do you want me to give? And by the way, lest you think that $12.50 sounds like an exorbitant amount, I want to serve notice on you. There are many people in this church membership who have learned the joy of giving far more than that. We don't support the number of missionaries we do out here, folks, on $12.50 a week. If you've never given to missions before, I don't expect you to jump in at some exorbitant figure. Say, what do you expect me to jump in at, Pastor? Whatever God puts on your heart. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. I don't, folks, if it's $2.50 a week, and that's what God puts on your heart, and that's what you can do, and that's honest before God, amen. You know what? We'll support all the missionaries we're supposed to support if we all just obey God. All of us will. Purpose invited. Purpose invited. You know, but be careful about this, folks, because, you know, young couples especially, you start out in life, you first get married, things are really tight, and, you know, things begin to, you get more steady in your job, and a few years of experience, you get bumped up in pay and bumped up in pay. You know, maybe at the beginning, it was very, very difficult to even give anything to missions, and maybe you scrape together a buck and a half or a couple dollars a week. But, you know, examine your condition. And if God has prospered you, you need to consider that. Consider it. God hasn't prospered you just for you. You pray about that. You talk to God about it. Purpose in your heart. Last point, number three. Three P's in the Faith Promise Pod. Principles involved, purpose invited. Number three, provision included. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What grace is he talking about there? You know what grace he's talking about? He's talking about the grace of giving. Grace is defined as the divine influence upon our hearts. Folks, you know why it takes grace, the divine influence upon our hearts in the matter of giving? Because all of us inherently by nature are selfish. Me, mine, give me. Remember the prodigal son when he went to his father? Give me. That's how we come into this world. Give me. It takes some growth in grace to get to the point where you say this. But God's grace is able. God's grace is able. Now there's unbelief. There's things I remember one missions conference. Brother Maxwell, I mentioned him tonight with the agricultural. He's a seed salesman. But I remember one missions conference where the phone rang at my house after missions conference. And it was Brian on the phone. He said, I didn't want to call you too late, but I want to share a blessing with you. He said, I came into missions conference this year determined that I wasn't going to increase my giving. He said, I just felt like I was giving what God wanted me to give, and I didn't feel like I needed to increase it. We said, through the days of the missions conference, God began to work on my heart, and I increased it. He said, I got home tonight. He said, there was a little red light flashing on the answering machine. He said, it was a message from my boss telling me that a raise I was supposed to have been given some months ago, but never got, was going to be put into place. And I think, and I can't remember if it was retroactive or not. I don't remember all. Brian, do you remember that? Do you remember all that? And friend, that whatever that raise was, more than covered what God told him to increase. And Don Oswardy has a similar story. But you know what? There's the other side of the coin too. Where you decide to increase a little bit and then something goes on negative. And you look at it and you go, wow, I didn't expect this. But God's grace is able. His grace is able. The provision is included, and the provision is God's grace. We're talking about the grace of giving beyond the tithe. You're not sowing when you're tithe, you're being obedient. But you sow when you give. Somebody wrote, tithing is the debt I owe. Giving is the seed I sow. And like our brother preached on Wednesday night, all God asks for is a portion. A portion. Tithing is the debt I owe. Giving is the seed I sow. I hope that you'll enter into this conference and focus. Well, I don't like preaching about money. As long as the cause of Christ is alive, and as long as this church is alive, it's going to take money. But God's not bankrupt. Let's pray and let's get God's mind about our faith promise giving for this coming year. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Thank you so much for your word. Challenge us with it. Help us to walk in the Spirit this week and to make this a matter of definite prayer, specific prayer, targeted praying, and enter into it, Lord, with a willing mind and heart. God, it may be that you want us to do exactly what we've been doing and not increase. That very well could be. It might be you want somebody to start. It might be you want somebody to increase. I don't know. But God, I pray that all of us will find your mind. Help us to remember the principles involved. Help us to do the purpose. It took purpose in our hearts. And God, help us to remember that the provision will be included because you promised it would. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you enter into this tonight as a member of Faith Baptist? Would you enter into it tonight with the spirit of seeking the will of God for your life, for this year? Let me ask you to pray about that. Let me ask you, please, even tonight, at this invitation time, to kneel or sit in your seat or kneel by your pew or come forward or whatever and just seek, just tell God you want to seek His will for missions to bear light for this coming year. Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name.